Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis on the Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Bay Reb Yanai. As we discussed in the previous shir, the halacha of Shvius, of Shemitah, and the halacha that Shemitah produce has the ability of Bitoifa Stomov, that things that are exchanged for Shemitah produce also have Kedusha Shvius. Our Gemara begins to discuss an incident where these questions were relevant. Says the Gemara, what happened was that the Bei Reb Yanai Yasvei Perishvius Manim, the family of Yanai, who were obviously wealthy individuals, and this is the way that they wanted to do tztaka, is that they would borrow fruits of Shvius from poor people, because, as we have been learning, in the Shemitah year, the produce is permissible to everyone. The produce has to be left hefker, and therefore even aniyim who normally may not have peiros have in the Shemitah year access to peiros. So they would borrow these peiros from the aniyim in the Shemitah year with the intent of paying back the shminis in the eighth year. In the eighth year, the fruits are more expensive, and therefore the aniyim will have significantly gained by this kind of a transaction. The Mefarshim ask that we learned the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Metzia that Asa Lulvais Saw B'Saw, that I can't borrow a cup of sugar from you when the intent to pay back a cup of sugar, because there's a ribis issue, because the price of sugar may go up in the interim from when I borrow it from you till I pay you back. So how could they have done this? Why is there no issue of ribis? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that even though saw b'saw is usur, in a situation where the person who's borrowing the food already has available to the food to pay back, the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia says that there is no issue of saw b'saw. Another teretz is that they tied the payment schedule to the value of the fruit, and therefore there's no issue of saw b'saw. Furthermore, asked the Mefarshim, we know that the Shemitah year, at the end of the Shemitah year, according to most Rishonim, all loans are cancelled. So if all loans are cancelled at the end of the Shemitah year, why is there any obligation to pay back? So to this too, I saw a number of answers. One answer I saw is that obviously they could have written a prosbul, and if a prosbul is written, there is no problem. Another terrorist that I saw is that the din, that the end of the Shemitah year, all loans are cancelled, is only if the due date for that loan is during or before the Shemitah year. But in a case where the due date is after the Shemitah year, there is no din that the Shemitah year cancels the loan. But of course, the most fundamental question that I think the Achronim ask is that why don't we have here a concern, as we discussed extensively in the previous year, of a situation of doing business with Peiros Shvius. And as we learned yesterday, doing Schoiru with Peiros Shvius is certainly also. Sir Chazon Ish answers that if somebody borrows Peiros and pays back Peiros, that's not considered a scenario of Schoiru with Peiros Shvius, and therefore it's mutter. The stipler in the Kilas Yaakov explains differently. He says the aniyim who lent peiros to Rabbi Yanai weren't doing any business. They were just giving somebody peiros shvius, somebody who wants to eat fruit of shvius. And since ostensibly Rabbi Yanai, if he would have wanted, he could have paid back in the Shemitah year, and certainly there is no iser for two individuals to exchange peiros shvius. I'll give you peiros shvius, then you'll give me peiros shvius. That's not called schaira. The fact that they chose to pay back instead of this year, next year, doesn't put it into the category of Schayru Perishvius. So they came and they asked Rabbi Yochanan, also Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, they came to Rabbi Yochanan and asked if this transaction, so to speak, was permitted. And what was the basis of the question? The Mefarshim explained that, as we learned also in the previous year, there's a concept of Bir Shvius. There's a concept that when the fruit vegetables are no longer available in the market, the halacha is, then they have to be completely destroyed. So here, by the time that they were paying back the Peir Shvius, it was already after the time of Zman Bir, and therefore they should have no right to use these new fruits. So he said, Yosan Hain of them. What Amalhu Rabbi Yochan said, Yosan Hain of them. What they're doing is fine. And the explanation is, since the Perishvius, which the Rabbiani people had borrowed, were no longer in existence, since they were no longer in existence, it's not considered a situation that they're paying back four Perishvius, that the new Peris that they're paying back should have Kedusha Shvius, and therefore if it's after Zman Bir, they should have to be destroyed, because if the first Peris are no longer here, there is no din of Tfisas Tomov that the new Peris will get that Kedusha Shvius. And he continued saying, we'll connect them by Esnin Mutter. We know, we've quoted the Pasuk, the Torah says, V'sovi Esnin Zoinin Beis Hashem Elokecha. The Torah tells us that we're not allowed that something that's given to a Zoyna as payment, an animal that's given to a Zoyna as payment, may not be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Says Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara is going to, of course, analyze this, that under certain circumstances, it would not be similar to the circumstances that we're discussing, it would not be considered a situation of an Esnan that there should be a problem. Ask the Gemara that in the Tanya, Nosan Lavalebala, if he gave the Zoyna the payment prior to the Bia, or Bala Avalai Nosan La, or he had Bia with this woman, but he didn't pay her, Esnan and Mutter, there is no issue of an Esnan. Ask the Gemara, Nosan Lavalai Bala, if he gave her a gift and they never had relations, so of course, what he gives her is not an esnan. Pshita, kim de leibabla, since they never ended up having relations, matana ba'alma hudiyavla, what he's giving her is no more than just a simple gift. And a gift, why should that be usur to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash? Vesu, on the other hand, if ba'ala v'loin hasanla, if they had relations, but he never actually gave her anything, so what is the Brisa saying? He hasn't given her anything. So if he hasn't given her anything, what's pshat when the Brisa says that the Esnan is mutter? There's nothing that should or shouldn't be an Esnan. She's received nothing. Ella, says Rabbi Yochanan, how must we interpret the Brisa? Hachikam. If he gave her a gift, but he didn't give the gift at the time of their having the relations. Rather, he gave it a gift, and then he did the bia later. Or the other way around. First he did the bia, and he gave it a gift later on, since the esnan wasn't, the payment wasn't given at the time of the bia. It doesn't fall into the category of an esnan, and therefore it's mutter. Say the Paiskim, this concept that if you don't pay at the time of the actual transaction, or furthermore, as we're learning, if the item under consideration is not anymore in existence when you pay for it, it's not really considered a kinyan, is relevant la'loch l'maisa by the dalaminim. We know the Torah says l'kachtum l'chem b'yom harishon, we have to take the dalaminim on Sukkos, and the Torah says l'kachtum l'chem, we must be the true owners of the dalaminim, and therefore say the paiskim, let's say someone only pays for his dalad minim after Sukkos, and after Sukkos the esrig is no longer in existence, and one could even argue, even if the Esrig is in existence, it's really not considered in existence because it's fairly worthless after Sukkos. The halacha will be that it's not a problem, because the halacha will be that it's not considered that you paid, because Al Gemara is teaching that it's only considered that you paid for something when the item is in existence and has value. But if you're paying for Esrig after Sukkos, or even if you give a check, suggest the Paiskim, that should only be cashed after Sukkos, what you're doing is really meaningless. So again, this Brisa seems to teach us that a payment after the act is, or after the Isser is no longer in existence, is not considered a problem. And that's why we don't have a problem with Kedusha Shvius in our Gemara. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara goes further at analyzing these dinim of the Esnan. It said here, Nosan Lavakach Baalel, if he gave her the gift, and afterwards he had relations with her, Lechi Baalel, when he does have relations with her, ask the Gemara, Lechala Issa Esnan Afreya. Why, if he gives her the Esnan today, and then he has relations with her later, should we not say that retroactively, this item that she received becomes an Esnan? Answers the Gemara, Amra Belosa, Kshikdima Vikrivasa. It's referring to a situation that as soon as he gave it to her, she used it, she brought it as a carbon, and therefore it's no longer in existence, and therefore there's nothing to say, we can't say that retroactively it becomes, that retroactively it's a carbon, because it doesn't really exist at that point anymore. Ask the Mefarshim, if it doesn't exist, so what's the discussion? There's nothing to talk about if nothing exists anymore. So I saw that the Mefarshim, in response to this question, say what the Gemara means to discuss is it going to be considered that, let's say, she brought the carbon with this gift, with this payment that he gave her. He gave her an Esnan. And then afterwards, he gave her an Esnan. And then afterwards, she brought it as a carbon. And then afterwards he had relations with her. The question of the Gemara is, the question that's being discussed, she was obligated to bring a carbon. Will it be considered that she fulfilled her obligation? That's how the Sefer Taras Chaim explains. Rav Shlomo Kluger and the Sefer Avodas Avodah explains as follows. We know then the process of bringing a carbon, the Shrita and the Zrika. So he says what the Gemara would be referring here to is a situation that between the Shechita and the Zrika, they had relations. And the question of the Gemara is, can we complete in having the Zrika after he has relations? Is it considered Esnan? A little of a forced scenario. So I saw others explain what the Gemara is referring. Another way he explains is as follows. We know that a carbon that's allowed to be eaten has an amount of time in which it may be eaten. 1 day and one night, 2 days and one night. And what the Gemara here means, he says, is let's say she brought the carbon, and after she brought the carbon, she had relations with this man. And the question is the carbon still considered a carbon that she should be allowed to eat the carbon? Ask the Gemara, let's analyze what is happening here. Hey chidami, ida amalei knei me'achshav, if when he gave her this Esnan, he says it should become yours from right now, Pshita Deshari, it became hers immediately, and later on, the Leisa B'Shaspiya. And as Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzon in the Sefer Divrei Shol explains, what kind of transaction would this be? We would understand the transaction that he wants to try to convince her to have relations with him. So how does he try to accomplish this? By giving her a gift, making it completely hers, and hoping that by acting this way towards her, she will agree to have relations with her. Says the Gemara, if that was what happened here, since Dalesa B'Shaspiya, if the actual Esnan no longer exists when the beer takes place, it's obvious Matana B'Almuhu D'Yavla, what he gave her originally was not more than meant as a guest, as a gift. If he didn't intend that it should become hers until they actually have relations, If the animal is really not hers, she can't use that. She can't bring that animal for a carbon. For we know the halacha, the Torah says, the Torah, when it speaks about the ability for somebody to be magdish something, compares it to your home. If just like your home is in your domain, it's your possession. So if he didn't give it to her and it's not hers, so certainly she can't be magdashit. Ella, what must have happened here? Damla, lahavi gabech atchas bia. It should be with you until the time of bia. However, if you'll need it, knime achshav. It should become yours from now. So firstly, the Rishonim explain, why would somebody give something to someone with such a stipulation? Because if he gives it to her outright, explain the Mefarshim, we know that anything someone completely owns, and then he takes on an obligation, or he takes on an obligation alone, there's a mortgage on it. He wants to avoid a lien, that she should ever have a lien on this item. So how does he avoid her having this issue? The way he's able to avoid this issue is by not really giving to her full-fledged. He only gives it to her with this stipulation. So, the Gemara's question, what he's saying is like this. Since he didn't give it to her fully, he only gave it to her with this stipulation. So certainly, as the Rishonim explain, if she would go and give it away to someone else, so it's a clear proof that it's not hers. That on the contrary, that it became hers, and she's giving away her item. Here, however, she was only magdashit; she didn't give completely away, and therefore it may be still in the category of an esnan and may not be brought on the mizbeach. Teaches us the brisa that it can't. Ask the Gemara. So we clearly learnt now, at least at this point, that this type of a situation, if she brings the animal as a carbon, it's fine. Ask them, well, let's say she didn't actually bring the animal as a carbon, but all she did was kadm v'gdisha somehow. She was magdish the animal. Is that also going to be enough to avoid the esnan problem? Because as the Ritva explains, perhaps only in a situation that we described a moment ago, where she goes and gives away the animal to another person or to hegdish, that's when we're going to say that it became hers. The fact that she gave it away shows that it was hers. Here she was only magdashit, but physically the animal is still in her possession, and since physically the animal is still in her possession and she was only magdashit, how does the halacha look at it? Do we say kivan amamar amirasal gvaikim sarasal hegit, that as we know and we've discussed and we will learn in fact in today's shir, for a transaction to be valid, for something halakhically to really become mine, a kinyan must take place, except in the area of hegdish. By hegdish there's a din, amiras l'gvay kimisras l'hegdish. Just saying that I want to give something to hegdish is enough. And therefore here too, even though she wasn't actually makir of the animal, but she said she's giving it to hegdish, command that krivas adama, halakhically we should look at it as if she was makir of it. Or do we say, the animal is still in her possession, and therefore, if she ultimately has relations with this man, it should be considered an esnan and may not ultimately be brought on the mizbeach. Why is the rule that mirasla gvayk misrasla hedjit? So I saw two explanations in the achronim. One explanation that the achronim suggest is that one of the types of kinyonim, in fact we're going to mention this type of kinyon in today's shir, is kinyon chotzer. That if I want to be makna something, if I want to take ownership of something, the fact that it comes into my chotzer makes it mine. Since we know, Lashem ha'aretz ha'malayai, the entire world is really the chotzer of Hashem, so therefore, as soon as I say that I want to give something to Hegdish, which means I want to give it to Hashem, a kinyon chotzer takes place. Another pshat that I saw from the Miches Chinuch. The Miches Chinuch suggests, we know that Erev Pesach, one has to burn all his chametz. Furthermore, I can only burn my chametz. I can't burn someone else's chametz. It's not mine to burn. But what would be the halacha, says the Miches Chinuch, then let's say I am a shliach to hold on to someone else's chametz. And Erev Pesach, I'm holding on to somebody else's chametz, and Pesach is approaching, and this person isn't here to discard, to burn his chametz. What happens? Says the Miches Chinuch, I, the shliach, can burn the chametz. That's the halacha. Ask the Miches Chinuch, how could I burn the chametz? It's not mine. I can't burn something that's not mine. The answer is, it's certain, the halacha sees it, that certainly the owner of the chametz doesn't want to be over the avera or by yirah and by yimatzah, and therefore, even though there hasn't been an actual formal act of kinyan, it's considered as if there was a kinyan, and that the chametz becomes the shliach's, that he should be burning it. Why? So the pshat in the Miches Chinuch is, because as we've discussed many times, the concept of kinyan, why is the Torah require a kinyan? The reason the Torah requires a kinyan is to show gemiras das, to show that we're truly serious about this transaction. The fact that I certainly don't want to be over an aveira shows that I'm serious about the transaction, even if no formal act of kinyan took place. Similarly, when somebody gives something to Hegdish, he's certainly serious. He's giving it to Hegdish. He's doing a mitzvah, and he's giving it to Hegdish. So therefore, there's certainly a gemiras das, even if there was no formal act of kinyan. The Farshim explained, or Chaim HaKadosh explains, but this is pshat in the pasuk that says, Vehemin Avram Avinu, the pasuk says regarding Avram Avinu, Vehemin Ba'Hashem V'yachshevel Loi L'tztaka. Explains the Archaim HaKadosh. V'hem b'Hashem, the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu promised something to Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu doesn't need a kinyan when it's Hashem giving him something, because it's Hashem, and Hashem's word by Avram Avinu is as good as given. V'yachshevel Loi Tztaka, he can already give Tztaka with this item. It's because when it comes to Hashem, you don't have to have a formal act of kinyan. Ask the Gemara, Betivshet Mirab Elazar. So now the Gemara is asking a question. If all he did was just be Magdashit, what is the halacha? Ask the Gemara, why can't we prove this point from what Rabbi Elazar said? The Rabbi Elazar said, as we said a moment ago, Dam Rabbi Elazar, Shekad Mevikrivasai, that we're referring here to a situation that they were actually Makrivit. So it seems that only because she was Makvit, Avalagdishaloi, if all she would have done is just be Magdashit, that would not be enough to take it out of the category of a Esnan. And to the Gemara, on the contrary, this is what Rabbi Oshia meant. He meant to try to understand what did Rabbi Loza mean. Rabbi Loza gufa kamei boilei. He was trying to understand what does Rabbi Loza say. My, are we to understand the mishap shita le Rabbi Loza, that it's to Rabbi Loza obvious the krivasa dafka only if she actually was makriv the carbon prior to the act of bia. There we have a situation that it will not be an esnan. But if all she did was hikdishasai, she's only magdashit loy, then that won't be enough to take it out of the category of an esnan. The isa b'shas bia, because this animal is in existence in the shas bia when they have bia, and since the animal is in existence when they have bia, it's obvious that it's an esnan. Idilma, hekrivasa pshita delay. Certainly, if the animal was brought as a carbon prior to the act of bia, it's certainly not an esnan. The question is, v'gdishasai, if she wasn't actually makrivit, she was only magdashit, what would be the halacha? And the Gemara remains with a taiku. The Braisa said, ba'alav achkach nasala, if he gave it to her and then he did bia, the halacha is that it's not a motor. For as we've been explaining in entire shir, since the payment was given after the act of bia, just like we said that when they pay back for the payrus shvius after those payrus were no longer in existence, the halacha is that it's not considered chalif shvius, it's not considered an esnan. Ask the Gemara, Vermini, but there's another brisa that says, "Ba'alavakach nosan law." If he had the bee and then he gave it to her, and even if it took place, I feel a mekayim v'atshloi shonim. He paid us 3 years later, esnan, and also to consider an esnan. And Farshim say, why does the brisa specifically give an example of 3 years? So they say because an animal changes statuses from a calf to a cow after in 3 years to show even if there was a significant change in the body of the animal, that doesn't change the fact that it's still considered an esnan. So how do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Amar Rav Chisda, Hada Amali Hiska Bali B'Telezeh. If he specified a specific animal, so even if he gave that animal after the act of Bia, that animal will be an esnan. Hada Amali Tiz Bali B'Telezeh. But if he didn't specify a specific animal and he gave it to her after the act of Bia, it will not become an Esnan. Ask the Gemara, V'chamalei B'tleze Mahavi, even he specified an animal, as we learned a few moments ago, just specifying something is not enough. You have to have a kinyan. Hamechas Meshicha, there was no kinyan here. Points out Tosfos, this requirement of having to have a kinyan is actually machlokes of Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says that midaraisa kinyan mashicha is required. Rish Lakish holds a kinyan mashicha is not. Rabbi Yochanan holds a kinyan mashicha is only midrabbanan, not midaraisa. So ask Tosfos, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't really need to have mashicha. So what's the Gemara's question that to be an esnan you have to have a mashicha if the Torah doesn't require a mashicha? So the Shainim respond that either our Gemara is going according to the opinion of Rish Lakish, which is somewhat difficult to say because we usually follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, or even Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the entire obligation of Mashicha is only Midrabbanan, but since we also know there's a concept of Hefker Bezdin Hefker, so we have to follow all of the rules of the Chachamim when it comes to Kinyanim, and without following the rules of the Chachamim, it won't be considered that it's Torah if there was no Mashicha. Says the Rosh, ask the Rosh. The halacha is, we're learning now that indeed, for something to become mine, I have to make a kinyan. However, there is an exception to that rule. A worker, says the Rosh, who's getting paid a salary, as soon as the salary comes into his rishus, even if he doesn't have a kinyan, becomes his. Because a salary is not a regular act of buying. So here too, she's being paid for the services. And since she's being paid for her services, isn't that like a salary, and therefore kinyan is not required? Answers the Rosh, indeed, a kinyan may not be required. But since he has the option of not having to have to pay any specific animal, he could have paid a different animal, a different way payment, not an animal altogether. So if she wants that this animal should be considered hers, there a kinyan is required. Another teretz is that when don't workers have to make a kinyan on their salary, on their wages? That's only if they already did the job. And after they did whatever they're supposed to do, they're getting paid wages, so a kinyan is not required. But let's say an employer pays his employees prior to services rendered. There, since the money is not yet really owed, even employees to take ownership of the salary has to make a kinyan. Have to make a kinyan. And here we're referring indeed to such a situation where he gave it to her prior, perhaps, to the act of Bia, therefore, or not during the act of Bia, therefore kinyan is required. So the question is, there was no Mashicha, so just designating an animal shouldn't mean anything according to the halacha. Answers the Gemara is talking about a Zayin Avodas Kechavim, like Kanyu Mashicha. Where is Mashicha required? By Jews, not by Akum. And as the Rishonim explain, what's going on if the Zayin Avodas Kechavim? The simple way of understanding is that even Goyim, as we've discussed many times, have the ability of bringing Karbanos, but a Goy also may not bring a Karban, which is an Esnan, and the discussion here is this animal an Esnan or not? Another way of understanding is that let's say a non-Jewish Zoyna received it payment and it will fall into the category of an esnan. If she then goes and gives this animal to a Jew, that Jew will not be allowed to bring the animal as a carbon if it's in the category of an esnan. V'bay seima lo'elam zayin Yisraelis. The brises are referring to Zaino who is the Yisraelis. But it's referring here that the animal is ready in her chatzar, and as we said before, when something is in your chatzar, there is no requirement of a kinyan mashiach because your chatzar is kinyan for you. Ask the Gemara if the Brice is referring to a situation where the animal is in a chatzar, and then why is the halacha that if she had bia and then gave it to her, didn't give it to her after the bia, the animal was given to her before because it was already in her chatzar, her kanyula, it was already in her chatzar. And says the Gemara, the Brice is referring to a case, the Shavinala Paitiki. A Paitiki means a Paitahei Koi, then where he designates something that if he doesn't pay, she could collect payment from this Paitiki. Damala, and he said to her like this, if I bring you money until a designated time, mutter fine. And not you could take this animal. Since the animal was pledged as an Paitiki from the time of Bia, and as we're learning, it was also in a chatzar, that's why it's considered an esnan. However, since it's not clear that she's going to indeed receive the animal, it's only going to become clear if he doesn't pay her by the time that he promised that the animal becomes hers. That's what the Braisa says, it's considered an esnan. But indeed, says the Braisa, the other Braisa, that if it wasn't an apoyteke, and therefore Bala of Akach Nosan Law, as we've been learning in the Taya Shir, that won't be an Esnan. So we began today's Shir discussing what the people in Rabbi Yane's home would do, that they would give they would borrow fruit, Shemitah fruit, in the seventh year from the Aniyim, and pay them back with regular fruit in the year after. Ask the Gemara, Master Rav Yishayas, it says in a Braisa, Oyma Adam Lechamarav Lepay Aleph. A person could say to his different employees, he wants to give them food, Lechuvah Ichlu B'dinazu. Go buy food for this dinner. Tzuvah Shesu B'dinazu. Go buy drink for this dinner. Ve'ena Chayshish, and he need not be concerned, Loi Mishum Shvias, V'loi Mishum Meiser, V'loi Mishum Yayin Nesach. Rashi explains, he's giving them a dinner, even though the halacha is that we're not allowed to give an amoritz enough money that he should buy more than three meals during the Shemitah year, because he may end up buying more Shemitah produce, and since he doesn't need all of the produce that he's buying, he'll end up doing business with that Shemitah produce. And the halach is, as we said at the beginning of this year, one is not allowed to do business with Shemitah produce. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains that the concern is that if he, as we're going to learn, the employer will pay the store owner directly, and the store owner will give him Shemitah produce, and now he'll use that Shemitah produce to give to his workers, where he's obligated to give his workers meals. It turns out that he's fulfilling his obligations, his obligation to serve meals to his workers with Shemitah produce, and as we discussed in the previous year, that you're not allowed to use Shemitah produce to fulfill your obligations. And the same concern is that if the workers are Maratzim, they may use the food, they may use the money to buy tevel, and the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat tevel. Or if the workers are akum, they might use the money to buy yai nesach, and therefore if he's benefiting from yai nesach because he's having yai nesach, if he would pay the storekeeper directly and he would give them yai nesach, he's benefiting from the yai nesach because that's how his workers are getting the meals that they're supposed to get. And therefore, if he gives them the dinner, but doesn't buy it, doesn't pay the shopkeeper directly, it's fine. After it fall, why is it fine? If there's a concern that the employer is giving his employees this money, and they're going to be using this money to buy food, Maisesheni, Tevel, Yai Nesach, whatever the situation is, that they're not allowed to buy, why is this not a situation of Lufnei Ivel Asita Mechsho? So explains the Ritva, since he's not actually telling them that they have to buy such food, and it's only a chash that they may buy such food, that's why it's not considered Lufnei Ivel. However, says the Braisa, Vim Amalahem, Suva Ichva Nipereyo, you go to the store and I'll pay, Suva Suva Nipereyo, then we have to be concerned that if they take from the store Shemitah produce, Tevel produce, Yayin Nesach product, he will be over Mishim Shviyas, Mishim Maisa, Mishim Yayin Nesach. So what do we see? Even though he's only paying for the Shemitah produce after they took it, and if we go back to what we learned at the beginning of this year, if you're paying afterwards, there's no problem. So why here, even if he pays the storekeeper who gave them Shemitah produce, since he's paying the storekeeper afterwards, given the practice that we learned was done in the home of Rabbi Yanai, there should be no issue here. Alma, Dika Kapara, the Mayisika Kapara. Even though it's afterwards. Hachinami, why don't we just say the same in the exercise with Rabbi Yanai? Chikapara, the Meisuru Kapara. Answers the Gemara. Here there's a special relationship between the storekeeper and the employer. Togmar of Chizda Bechanvani Amakifa. Since this employer has an account by the storekeeper, so the fact that he has an account creates a shibud. There's a Shabbat lay, the kivim the karkel urcha kufi. Since he always gives him credit, kanalei the gabei, the storekeeper gets rights to the dinner immediately, even if he actually doesn't receive the physical dinner until later. And therefore, in the Brisa case, since the storekeeper always gives credit to the employer, so he's sure he's going to get repaid. So a shibud gets created from the moment he gives the workers the food, and therefore it's considered, given that there is a shmit, there is a shibud, when he'll pay him, it'll turn out that he paid for dover asur. In the case of Rabbi Yanai, where we don't have such a relationship, so there is no shibud and there is no problem. Ask the Gemara, according to this understanding, Avo Chanvoni She'ena Mekifai, if he didn't have an account by this storekeeper, it would be mutter. Ask the Gemara. That's how we ought to understand the Braisa. The Braisa wanted to paint two pictures. A picture which is mutter, where the employer doesn't have to worry, and a case where we have a concern. So the case that we said is fine is where he just gives the workers money. The case that we said is a problem is where he gives the storekeeper money. Why do we have to make this distinction? We should have said this way. That's when it's not a problem. We should have made the following distinction. When is there a problem? Only when he has an account with the storekeeper. Because since he has an account, so therefore, even if he didn't actually give him the money, but there's immediately a shibud. So since he doesn't have an account, there is no shibud, and therefore it's mutter. So that should have been the ration to say for the braisa. Voi, asked the Gemara, even if it's a storekeeper whom he doesn't have an account with, mila mishtabit, just because I don't have an account, is there no shibud? If somebody says to somebody else, 10 money l'ploini, v'yukul kad n'chase lach, and all my property will be quiet to you, karmid din arif. We see that the halacha of a guarantor, the halacha of an arif teaches us that the fact that I give instructions creates a shibud. So here too, even if he didn't have an account, but if the storekeeper is giving the food on behalf of the employer, that should create a shibud, and that should create an iser. Therefore, says Rav, a different way of understanding the brisa. There's no difference if he does or doesn't have an account with this storekeeper. Avgav, even though there's a shibud, the moment the storekeeper gives food to his employees on his behalf, since they didn't make a specific item be obligated, that is not a concern. So how do we reconcile, going back, the two brises? Halacha, amai choshim shim shviyas, hamalayachim shibudei hacha. Why, if he didn't tell the storekeeper to give the employees the food, and he only pays the storekeeper after he gave the employees the food, is there a problem? That he gave him the money in advance. So since he paid for the item in advance, that's why we have a problem. But if he paid for it afterwards, it would not be a problem. I said this over to Rav Zvid. If that's the way to understand the brisa, that if the employer gave money to the storekeeper first, it's a problem. If he didn't, it's not a problem. Then the wording of the brayse is somewhat misleading. He shouldn't say tzuva ichlo tzuva shesu. He should have said tzuva ichlo v'shesu v'ani mechash meboyle. He should have said, I have money left by this storekeeper that I'll make a cheshbin with him after you take the food. Amrslay, so he said, indeed, that's the proper wording of the brayse. Tnu tzu v'ani mechashiv. Take food. I already gave him money, and then afterwards, make a cheshbin. So now ask Tosfos, if there's a difference if he already gave him the money or he didn't give him the money, so why don't we explain it that way? Why does the Braisa not make this distinction? So he said, because Tosfos says the Braisa wants to be speaking a Thai Braisa where he gave him the money before, and the difference is how he's working out the payment, instead of speaking a distinction whether he gave before or after. Ravashi has another way of understanding the two brises and why there should be no stira. What's the difference? Indeed, if he pays afterwards, there would not be a problem. Here we're referring to a situation if he takes the food and physically gives it to the worker, that's why it's usur. In the case of Rabbi Yanai, it wasn't that he took Shemitah produce, and at the time he's taking Shemitah produce, he's giving back different produce. So it wasn't not of an Asim B'yad, and that's why it's not the same type of situation. And most Rishonim are of the explanation. The Rav Ashi and Rav Papa are not really arguing. They're just giving two different ways of how to explain the Braisa. Omle Rav Yemel Rav Ashi, that if it's the issue here is that the employer is taking the food from the storekeeper and giving it to the workers, and that's why in the Sefer we have a problem, in the second Brice we have a problem, unlike the case of Rav Yanai, Yoch Adatani Tznu V'Ichlu Tzu V'Shesu, then the words aren't Tzu V'Ichlu and Shesu aren't the right words, Tzu V'Ichlu Tlu V'Shesu Mibayle, because he's actually giving them the food, and that's why we have a problem. Amalei so responded, indeed, that's the proper gears of the Brice. Don't just say Tznu V'Ichlu, Tlu v'ichlu, tlu v'shesu. Say t'ni, tlu v'ichlu, tlu v'shesu. The take and eat, that he's actually taking it, not just giving instructions, and that's why it's more of a concern.